Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show. Western Pennsylvania prevails in the Battle of the Commonwealth.
Now you understand how big a deal that was. You were downplaying that angle before the game. Now you get it. Now you've seen those Eagles. You've seen those Eagles fans.
I really, there wasn't much of a Eagles fans presence that I could see yesterday in Heinz Field.
But, I've heard some stories.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm sure there are some of those.
Let's just say there were some hearty exchanges among the citizenry.
The game, I don't know, it was not pretty, but I was very, very satisfied with this.
I thought it was pretty.
I thought that, well, 9 penalties, I mean, thank goodness those regular refs are back, though. As I mentioned once or twice in the press box yesterday. No, but I mean, the performance wasn't, there were a lot of drop balls by the receivers. I'm talking about in terms of executed really well. But I thought it was going
to. There's no Mozart is what you're trying to say.
It's definitely no Mozart.
But here's what was
pretty. But there is a fine line between winning and losing.
It was pretty important that they win that game.
Oh, it's very important that
they
won
it. It's a pretty big deal that they ran the ball and stopped the run.
Yes.
And it's a pretty big deal that they remembered, hey, when you have the ball last, you can go ahead and finish the game by scoring and win that way. So, to me, the rest is just details. The big things that they needed to accomplish, they accomplished. And the cherry on top of that Sunday, I just glanced at the Steelers Digest here hot off the press. I didn't see who the player of the game was.
Timmons was who I picked.
It's a good choice, but that effort that James Harrison gave the Steelers yesterday in some ridiculously difficult circumstances, having not played, and then Woodley going out, and he winds up playing every defensive snap, and I thought was really a factor. He got the Eagles' attention. He settled his teammates as we thought they would. Ryan Clark acknowledged that, said his mere presence had a huge impact. The reports of James Harrison's demise are apparently premature, and that might be a pretty big deal the rest of this year, too.
Yeah, I agree with you. Just going back to what you started off by saying, the fact that the Steelers ran the ball and stopped the run I thought was very important, and it made me happy. The way that Ben Roethlisberger, ended it at the end this time, instead of, as he had said, didn't want to go 0-for-3, having an opportunity to pull out the Denver game and the Oakland game and not being able to do it. The thing to me going in, I mean, the contribution of Mendenhall to me was obvious. What James Harrison gave, as you mentioned, borderline heroic. From a physical standpoint. But again, I thought that a lot of the guys who needed to make the plays, who need to make the plays for this team now, are starting to do it. Timmons was a guy I thought was, very much a factor. Larry.
He was vertically disruptive.
Yes, he was. Nicely put. Where'd you hear that one? But
they opened up for a fist fight in the parking lot last Friday in Lawrenceville.
But, I thought that Larry Foote, was around the ball a lot. A lot of these guys, Ziggy Hood was much more visible to me, just sitting there watching the game from the stands, from the press box. And so these are the kind of guys I think moving forward are going to have to really kind of come on and come into their own, for this team to blossom the way that it wants to or expects to. Because I'll tell you what, the Troy thing is troublesome to me. Two soft tissue injuries to the same piece of soft tissue that seems to have bothered him to some degree in 2010 and then also last year. He is such an explosion kind of guy. The calf muscle is a big part of that. I don't think that the Steelers should look in Troy's direction for some time. I think that he is going to be – he's going to need a significant amount of time to get back from this, and I don't know what he will be like when he gets back. So that's why, You know, I keep looking for, you know, the young up and comers to contribute more.
Did you throw Jason Worlds in there?
No, I didn't, but that's another good one too.
First time yesterday, I wasn't thinking. Probably should have drafted Sean Lee.
I would like to see, you know, Jason Worlds have an opportunity to, participate in an offseason once. Last year there was, or 2 years ago there was none. Last year he was hurt for it all. But he does show enough periodically to make you think, this guy could maybe be something. You know, I do remember when he was picked, talking to Tom Donahoe, who used to be the GM here and was fired, and so there was no real, they're not all holding hands singing Kumbaya, but he told me that he really liked Jason Worlds and thought that Dick LeBeau would be able to do a lot of good things with him because he described Jason Worlds as Jason Gilden with more athletic ability.
If that proves to be the case, that'll be a good pick.
Yeah, it'll be a very good pick. But we're a little bit away from that at this point. Let me ask you this, Coach Pursuta, and I'm going to throw the head coaching headset on your head. You going to make a move at safety? I mean, are you content to continue to play Ryan Mundy and maybe work Will Allen in there a little bit? Or are you looking at a 1997 kind of thing, 1995 kind of thing, where, you know what, we might have to take somebody who plays a different position and put him there and see what we can do with
that?
Well,
it's interesting. Mike Tomlin didn't exactly endorse Ryan Mundy.
No, he did not.
Minutes ago. He said we're capable of playing both guys.
Yes.
He threw the special teams load in there.
Right.
Some kind of caveat to I assume to deflect some attention from the opponents keep scoring touchdowns in Ryan Mundy's vicinity.
And, yes.
To answer your question, I'm making a move there, at least temporarily. I understand that they watch practice and they grade this stuff and they're not playing guys who they think are worse than the backups. The backups are the backups for a reason. There's first team, then there's the next guy, then there's the next guy. But I don't think it's working. And, sometimes I think you got to adopt the thought process of, well, how much worse can it get? Maybe it'll get a whole lot better. Let's try something different for something different's sake.
Let me ask you this. I mean, and again, I'm just spitballing stuff here and think of Cortez Allen there. Move Curtis Brown up into Cortez Allen's nickel role as a corner and play Cortez Allen, because if you're going to have to match up with, Mike Tomlin mentioned Jared Cook, the Titans tight end who is coming up here Thursday night, a matchup problem. A lot of these tight ends are matchup problems in coverage. Move a guy, and I picked Cortez Allen only because he covered Gronkowski and did a nice job of that, but maybe moving one of those corners. You got five, right? Five with DeMarcus Van Dyke. I don't know. I think it's something though that needs to be addressed, because I think that it is, without Troy there, it is a weakness beyond just not being as good as it is when Troy is Troy. But I think it's actually a weakness.
I think I'm sticking with the veteran at this point. I want to make sure the guys are in the right spots. And let's see what Will Allen can do. If they're capable of playing both and willing to play them both, let's play them both and see what happens.
But you're not getting making any drastic moves. So, yeah, I'd think about that.
Not for this game, certainly.
Not for this game. But
I want to play this one and see how it goes. I'm curious to see what might happen if they played Will Allen for a few series. I'd maybe play him there the first couple series and see where we are at the end of the first quarter, and be light on our feet and thoughtfully non-rhythmic and kind of let the game dictate policy.
Yeah, and I'd like to take this opportunity right now to clarify a couple of my previous opinions about Mendenhall and Harrison. Mendenhall shocked me. He really did. I mean, I was shocked in an impressed way. I never thought he could be that productive. I never thought he could look that crisp and aggressive and, you know, good cuts. And, I mean, he really looked like he had not missed a snap of the entire offseason program, went all through training camp and the preseason. And Harrison, again, I didn't expect him to be able to play that much at that level, you know, on that kind of an injury. And I don't know. I guess there are different ways to measure greatness. You know, with Harrison, maybe his will, you know, just is a weapon of its own. And Mendenhall, I mean, wow, 9 months and 6 days after blowing out your knee in Cleveland, he played like a number one pick against a pretty tough defense and was critical to a win that this team absolutely had to have. Wow.
Yeah, you
take your hat off and hand it to him.
You can sum up Harrison. Mike Tomlin was asked about him if he had any negative reaction to the knee after the game, and Mike Tomlin said, I haven't really talked to him. He's down working out now.
Yeah, I saw him come in.
He's working out after what he did yesterday. So that's James Harrison. I echo everything you said about Rashard Mendenhall, with the exception that I was not surprised he was able to catch the ball in the flat. I don't care if you call it a lateral, if you want. This is the concept that I've been screaming about for how long has he been here? Five years?
Yeah. 07 when he was a number one pick.
That's what he does, and he did it again on that last drive. He got about 15 yards. Two little passes in the flat, 28 yards and a touchdown. Let's see some more of that, huh? That seemed to work. I think that guy can do that.
What game did he do that?
Rose Bowl against Southern California. Southern Cal, as I like to call them, because they hate it when you call them Southern Cal. To the extent that they actually sent out an email that said, please don't call us Southern Cal.
I'll bet you that was extremely effective.
Yeah.
Please don't do this.
Okay, every time. Thanks for the update. Yeah. You know, that's against a defense that had either first-rounders playing or guys who were sophomores on their way to becoming
first-rounders.
Might finally be the right fit. This offense might finally be the right fit for Rashard Mendenhall. Not that he's been a disappointment or anything prior to this, but I think that's a part of his game that the Steelers, for whatever reason, have not chosen to glean from him. And now it's available and apparently needed, and it works.
So I'm looking as I'm chuckling here. I'm turning the page here. What would you have thought if I would have said to you, okay, I'm going to bet you that Ben Roethlisberger is not sacked Sunday against the Eagles? I mean, seriously, there's no way that I would have believed that that was possible. You know, the Steelers found a lot of different ways, and he did avoid some of the rush sometime, to be sure. And there were a couple of times. The one holding penalty for sure. Willie Colon tackled the guy, but he was getting past him, getting to Ben, and I'm in favor of that. You know, that is a good penalty in my book. But still, the fact that the Steelers were able to, through scheme and execution of it, keep their quarterback from being sacked against the Philadelphia Eagles is phenomenal. And of all the things to come out of the game that make me smile, that's up there with the top of them, because I really think that bodes well for the rest of this season.
Well, yeah. You can remember back to that 2008 game. They got annihilated.
Nine sacks. I think they got him nine times.
He was under siege. He looked comfortable back there yesterday. That's not something that people often are against the Philadelphia Eagles. You saw that Giants game on Sunday night. All kind of problems for Eli Manning in that game at times. I think being at home helps. An underrated factor in pass rush, I think, is the noise. And does the line have to go silent, or can they eye up the defender? Mm-hmm. That said, you still got to get in front of them and block them. Nice job by, you mentioned scheme. Heath Miller was more involved in protection than he was receiving. He's been a huge part of the offense, but yesterday he was needed to keep Ben upright, so that's where he was deployed. Good job by the line. We had Craig Wolfley, our colleague from Steelers Radio Network, on the WDV morning show this morning, and he was really praising Max Starks for his first two steps, getting back and getting the right angle to engage the ends as they come in on that hard angle in the Eagles' wide nine. And Ben is getting rid of the ball. And, you know, let's call him up and ask him. He'll say, no, I haven't changed a thing. I'm playing exact same as I did, and I haven't changed. Why would you even ask me if I'm changing? Because I haven't changed. It's pretty obvious I haven't changed. He gets it. He's on board. He's all in. He likes winning. It's working.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. And on that note.
And if you're going to get rid of it quick, Mendenhall in the flat seems to be a good option to me. Have I mentioned that ever?
Let me just throw this one little.
How about he was actually campaigning after the game. He was told, he found out it was a lateral. And he said, no, it was a forward pass.
Ben.
Yeah, we got to get that changed.
Honestly, that's exactly what I was going to bring up. Do you think in either New England or Denver, that's a lateral?
He said it's Pittsburgh, so everybody thinks we run the ball. So it's a run.
I'm serious. Brady or Manning, they make the Elias Sports Bureau change that. Middle of the week, that's always to the quarterback.
Still count six, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, I don't play fantasy, so I don't care.
I don't really
get
either.
Get it over the goal line, run it, throw it, kick it, get on a Ouija board and seance it. Just get it in the end zone.
That'll do it for this edition of Talking Steelers Football. For Mike Pursuta, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.